All right, that's Joe Newman on trumpet, Frank West on tenor sax, Tommy Flanagan on piano, Eddie Jones on bass, and Oliver Jackson on drums with Wednesday's Blues. This is from Newman's 1960 album, Jive at Five. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and glad to be together with you again today. So, what are we talking about today? So much is going on, and you get the feeling that, we are about to overdose with just insanity. This can't be real. This can't be real. This the pace at which we're being slammed with all kinds of craziness. And we do need, at least I feel so, we need some kind of a space where we're kind of quiet for a hot minute and then we start again. But to keep this neck-breaking pace of insanity, you collapse. All right, so I need you to get into a different frame of mind because you're going to be a policymaker today. You're going to set policy. And here's the background to how you will be operating in your new post. You've been summoned to Washington, D.C. to meet with President Biden and a group of his top national advisors. Some of your recently published articles and opinions and analyses have come to their attention. They want to know what kind of national program would you recommend be implemented right away? What need would it serve? What problem will it solve? All right. I will repeat, just so we're all very clear about our mission today. You have been summoned to Washington, D.C. to meet with President Biden and a group of his top national advisors. Some of your recently published opinions and work and theories have come to their attention. They want to know what kind of national program would you recommend be implemented right away? What need would it serve? What problem or problems will it solve? Okay. Policymaker, that's the task. You should be able to tell us from your own observation, your own analysis of what's going on in this country today, what needs to happen right now, what needs to be implemented right now to bring everything back into what people would feel is a sense of control, normal operating procedure. 888-874-4888. That's the number you should call to tell us what your policy would be or policies. What do you think needs to be done right now, right this minute? in order to put some sense of order or logic in our day-to-day lives as a nation? What problem will you be tackling with your recommendation? What problem would it solve? You must have an idea. 888-874-4888. We are not used, and I can understand there's a certain hesitancy. We never asked what we think. We never are asked what we want to happen. How do we see public policy being formulated in order to tackle a specific problem or problems, and that would kind of bring back some kind of logic and stasis, which is what people want? People don't want to be battered by the storms of life every day. They want some part of their lives to be predictably calm, reasonably calm. This gives them a sense that life is occurring and they're still in control. They're not held hostage by life. They're part of the process of life. And they're trying their best to be part of the process. Okay, so the assignment is there. Who'll be the first to take on this assignment today? 888-874-4888. I repeated the question so you have a clear idea of what is being asked of you. Stay on point and come up with something. Surely, in all these years of your life, you have acquired a certain wisdom, a natural wisdom that we gain simply by living. And now you're being asked to be part of this group formulating a response, a national response to the problems that you've identified. What will those responses be? And what is the problem you're seeking to rectify? Very simple, very straightforward. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Test your mettle. See how people are reacting. And for yourself, are you, in fact, have you been paying attention to what is going on? What is the cumulative effect of all the stuff going on you? What have you decided is a major problem that needs to be fixed? And you have an idea or two about how to tackle the problem and get on with the business of fixing it. Nobody expects you to have all the answers, but surely you have an answer. Surely you could tell us, based on your own observation and experience in life up until this point, what you consider to be a national priority that has gone unattended and just left alone, but having, and is likely to have, major effect, devastating effect. So you are going to be encouraging, through your contribution, some kind of a review, some kind of an overview, I should say, of where we are as a nation and how it is that you've picked this up, but people are missing it. Mohammed from New York, you're on the air. You start us off today.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hope all is well with you. You three, someone will be very brief and to the point. My major concern is health care for all or universal health care for Americans or people, not just Americans, but those in this country who might not have citizenship yet. I feel we all should have and deserve health care.
Okay, but you want to phrase this. Remember, now you are a policymaker. So it's not so much about your concern personally. It is about what you see as an overarching problem. How would you state that? How would you propose that?
You know, first I would, you know, in terms of looking at problems, from my perspective and the way I've been taught, that you look at causes, right? And I'm going to just give you an example. I was living in Queens up in a few months ago. Now I moved to Yonkers. In Queens, where I was living, it was a very diverse community. But here in Yonkers, where I'm now, I just see a lot of people sick, and I see a lot of people, you know, that I can just tell by their appearance that they don't have a good diet. They're eating too much of this or too much of that. But just a lot of people need health care that's not receiving it. You know, it's just too expensive, and we can't keep going like this as a country with our citizens who are paying taxes, you know? So I just feel like we need to do something about that, you know?
All right, so now you are to frame this in a particular way. What is your proposition to the president and his top advisors, of which you are now one?
Okay, I guess I would need to find a way how we're going to do this, because many in Congress,
just give me the statement. What is going to be your proposal?
To try to convince those who are not along with it.
I want to do, or the United States should do X.
That's a good question, and I don't have an answer right away, and don't feel bad to say
okay,
that.
Okay, so do some thinking. You're free to call back.
Okay, thank you very much.
But you're on the road already. Lenore from North Carolina, you're on the air. What is your proposal?
So thank you, Utrice. So what I would tell President Biden as a proposal would be to create a program that sets aside monies and services for all the children who have been orphaned as a result of this COVID pandemic. We talk about the numbers of deaths that have happened, but we oftentimes don't focus in on the implications of that. And my understanding is that the COVID pandemic has been the single one greatest event that has created the most orphans, not only worldwide, but also here in the United States. So I would suggest that money be set aside, number one, that these children would have access to monies to supply them with food and nutrition, because their families have been impacted, that there would be money set aside even for K through 12, that trauma counselors specific to deal with this particular issue be placed within the schools. And also, just kind of as an additional piece, that additional financial aid be set aside for children who were on the road to college. So because of the variety of age ranges that these children have been impacted, I think a comprehensive policy and program issued across the United States would be something that we would need, not only because it's the right thing to do, but also if we're going to invest in our future, we need to deal with the current and immediate trauma that our children have experienced.
What makes you convinced that this is a necessary program?
So I believe it's necessary because children are oftentimes left out of the conversation, and we deal with the after effects of once they're older, once problems arise. Children are currently in schools here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Our schools are grossly underfunded, and we have a high child poverty rate as it is. And in addition to this pandemic, we need to be sure that children are well nourished. You cannot have a functional adult society without starting with your children first, being well nourished so that they are able to function physically within the classrooms in order to learn, and also just to deal with the emotional trauma of not having parents. It's important because in a few years, we're going to be dealing with the tail end of leaving children unaddressed. It results in increased mental health issues, which will be costly to us. It can potentially lead to increase in drug abuse usage when trauma isn't addressed. People oftentimes opt for dangerous, unhealthy coping mechanisms, and ultimately it leads into our criminal justice system. So we're going to pay one way or the other. It's not as though we will not pay as a society. The question is, which end of the spectrum would we prefer to pay?
What are you calling this program, Lenore?
That's a great question. I guess I would call it Operation COVID Orphans, the compassionate approach.
Okay. Well, guess what? I like your idea. It is insightful. There may be programs like it already in existence. But the way you put it, you've taken a comprehensive view of it. And you've made it national, and you have focused the attention on the children. That's an excellent place to start. Thank you very much. You get a star for today. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Jean from New Hampshire, you're on the air.
Well, first, I really want to thank you for asking that question. That's really big, and it made me think big. And my, unfortunately, I would have to probably arrange a meeting with President Biden, with the Pope, because I think the thing that we have to do, and what I would do, is get the money out of politics. It's just like all of a sudden make an executive order and say no more private money goes to anything political, including the news, so that the news has to become public and the politicians have to become back to public. And I would plea with him to see the urgency of that, because I think taking the money out of the preoccupation of everybody all the time, constantly, in every breath they make, and instead turning that to humanity and love, and that, I think that would change everything. And
yes, but what is the program? You haven't quite told us what it is.
Right.
How will you implement
it? It would just have to be an executive order that says now all the money that would go to one governmental institution that would handle charitable, would handle the politics, every tax return we've ever filled out, we always check that box that says money goes, it doesn't take out of your taxes, but it goes to the political process in the election. And so make more, somehow get the money to go through that channel and then be allocated equally so that it becomes more, it becomes public, and the private people and corporations that support politicians can no longer do that. They have to go through the place where they collect the money for the elections, where in the government.
Here's what I'm afraid of, Jean. You have a bunch of ideas that are not necessarily compatible with each other, but may in fact be competing with each other.
It's very tough. It's very tough. I understand.
How could you simplify your idea to make it just in one sentence what you're going to do?
Okay.
And
so in other words, make
it done
go
now.
Go to the local level? Do you mean get small in terms of the local level? I know I have to shrink my thought down, but
yes.
How would you suggest, which route do you suggest I take to do that?
Oh, that's up to you. This is your
okay.
idea. You
right.
have to take responsibility
Boy.
From 0 to 100. This is yours.
Boy, I feel those wheels turning in my brain. Boy, thank you. wow.
It's okay. First of all,
yeah.
don't feel
yeah.
nervous. It's an idea. And this is how good things start out.
Yeah, yeah, boy, yeah.
And you have to have faith in your idea that your idea is good. It doesn't have to be good right this minute. You
yeah.
just thought of it.
Yeah.
So give it some time to develop in your head how it would work, how you would implement it, and what would the benefits be when your idea is fully in play? How would society be improved with your idea?
And in about 6 months, you'll ask this question again, and I'll call
yes.
back and tell you exactly what I've thought up. But give us time to think this one over. But don't let it go. This is a great question.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jean. And
thank you
for giving it a good try.
Thank you.
And thank you for the advice. I will take it.
Thank you.
Veronica from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good day. How art thou?
Good day.
I would put more or less asked that we stop the mandates.
Oh, no, we're not asking anything today. You have been sought out by the president and his advisors, his top advisors. They heard of you. They've read your work. They've read your ideas. And they want to talk to you some more. What are they going to be talking about? What are you presenting to them?
The reasons why, the nurses have been short-staffed before 2019. Therefore, the fact that we were able to work through the pandemic, I would really appreciate it if more people were available to save lives. That is one. It is necessary and essential. We also need teachers.
That's a vague thing. You now have to say specifically what that means. More people have to be available. Is this a training program?
expedited training
program that
okay.
you're saying?
Some states, seven, New York included, have said September 29th, no one can come back to work if they have not gotten this, and it should be a choice. I need these people at work because we will have more mortality rates because we have less people available, not just in home care, in hospitals, nursing homes. Therefore, it is if they have weekly testing instead of them not being there at all, which means now we're pushing more people into poverty. So we need this to stop immediately.
Wait a minute,
because
you're off the point, Veronica. That's what I'm saying. What is your plan? What is your recommendation? I don't need you to make the case or the rationale, lay out the rationale for why we should do certain things. You have to state emphatically, because one assumes that you have studied this problem and you know a thing or two about how it can be alleviated. So we're looking for your plan. We're not looking for you to argue the fine points of your plan just yet. That's later down the road. What is your plan right now?
Executive order for nurses to get back to work, teachers, for everyone to get back to work that is qualified to work. And in getting their positions, this was not a requirement. Is it called the plan called choice? Am I still off topic? Well,
slightly, because we're looking for the special insight that you have because of your experience and because of your exposure. You apparently have some special insights about a problem, a clear problem, and you also have some special insights into what would work, what would more than likely work to solve the problem.
I am at a loss. I would like someone else to go. I don't want to take up any more
time. Here's what we make a deal. You do some more thinking, and when you feel you're ready, call back.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hello. Hello, Yatrice.
Hello, Ed. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. Okay, get ready. We're going to start. Mr. Biden and your cabinet, get out your pen. I got a three-prong program to address the immediate concerns that are, in my opinion, in this country right now. Number one is housing. Number two is debt. Number three is infrastructure and restructuring. As far as housing, I want you to take out your pen. I want an executive order. I want you to take money specifically from the defense budget, because this is a matter of national security. If people have homes and feel secure, I want you to allocate a program similar to the New Deal, similar to the federal program, where all federal lands, vacant properties are taken and renovated and made into affordable housing for people who need housing. I want that to be an executive order. I want that to start nationwide. Hopefully the localities will take the lead and follow through with it. Number two, debt moratorium on everybody with an income under $100,000. I want the debt forgiveness. I want a jubilee. I want you to allocate more money out of the defense budget, because we got a big defense budget and we don't need all that. I want you to executive order it out like Trump did for the wall. And I want you to set up programs that help people, number one, get out of debt, and number two, maintain financial solvency. And number three, I want like a New Deal. I want massive federal infrastructure programs to take place. And I want you to use the executive order to initiate them so they can take root. I want roads, tunnels, bridges in desperate need of repair. If you look at the bridges in New York, for example, pieces are falling off around the country. We desperately need infrastructure repair. And that's what I want, if you're asking my opinion.
Okay. Now, is this going to be a forever program, or is this going to be these programs going to jumpstart what you eventually hope will become permanent programs?
They're all going to be jubilee jumpstart programs, primarily dependent on the bully pulpit power and the executive power of the executive order. We're going to piss a lot of people off, but if everybody's happy with your decisions, then your decisions don't mean much. So I don't care who you piss off. We're going to jumpstart these programs. Hopefully they'll take fruit, because once the American people see the results, or what I believe will be the positive results, they won't want you to take them away, just like Social Security, just like Medicare, just like Medicaid, just like all the other programs that started in this country. But somebody's got to make the bold step forward. That's what a dynamic leader does.
Okay. And you have a timeline for how long these programs will last, or how long it would take for these programs to truly yield evidence of a good result?
I believe that the debt consolidation and the housing programs will yield fruit immediately, within six months to a year, based on what I see, if the effort is put forth like it should. As far as the infrastructure programs, they're going to take time, obviously, but the immediate impact will be jobs. People will get affordable, will get decent jobs, be able to acquire a skill, and the infrastructure will improve, so the economy will improve, because interstate commerce and transportation will improve with better roads, better bridges. That might take some time, depending upon the amount of work that is done or the amount of work that's required, but that's got to be assessed at first. But I figure that, you know, the programs can last as long as your presidency lasts. And if they take fruit, they take fruit. If they don't, they don't. But at least we've made an effort to start some real necessary change in this country, and we've had a dynamic leader. And I think that'll also improve on his popularity poll. Because if you're making some definite decisions, and the project could be called Operation Jubilee.
Operation Jubilee. Writing it down. What brought you to this conclusion, to these conclusions, that these things are likely to work and not fail?
Well, I'm an amateur historian, and I'm basing it on the Great Depression. I'm basing it on what FDR did, some of the programs that he instituted that are still in effect today, like welfare and Social Security, and I'm basing it on the climate of the American people. We've been through a very stressful time where people have actually lost careers, where people, some good things have happened. Some people have found new ways to go, a new vision. Some people have made assessments to their of their lives and changed their lives and direction. We need a leader that's capable of comprehending that and appealing to that desire to do better. And right now, he's not doing that. That's what he presented when he's running his campaign, but he's got to make the bold step and take the leap and use the power that he has to manifest some of the ideas. This is only my humble opinion, to manifest some of those ideas.
You've never been humble a day in your life. I definitely get that sense. You've never been humble. You don't know what it's like.
Opinion. This is my
opinion. Your considered opinion.
My considered opinion, based on the realities.
And I thank you very sincerely, because in a short spurt here, you have outlined a lot of things that big time advisors, this is what they get to do. Major committees are formed to come up with ideas that are not even as good. So that's what I mean. People have to have faith that they know what they're talking about, and that there's a way to transform their ideas into concrete, workable plans. Very good ideas. Thank you very much for your Jubilee, Operation Jubilee today. Thank you. We'll take this break and come back right after this at 888-874-4888. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. And everybody today is a planner. Everybody today is putting forward ideas for consideration to the president. Everybody has been invited to Washington, D.C. to present their ideas for how the nation copes with its current situation right here in the moment. What ideas can be floated and be made concrete to improve our collective situation? 888-874-4888. You see, I like to stress these things because many people believe, I that's not my thing. I don't have a degree in that. I don't know too much about this. That is not the attitude to have. You have good ideas. Get used to the idea of claiming them and working on them. Jeremiah from Harlem, you're on the air.
How are you today, Utrees?
Okay, thank you.
Giving us an opportunity to use our imaginations and hopefully some of this could become reality. But my five-point plan here is, first of all, we're going to dismantle the military-industrial complex, and we're going to announce to the world that we are no longer going to be the leading terrorist in the world. We are closing our military bases. We will now offer humanitarian support to countries in whatever way they would like, but no more adventurism, no more imperialism, and to show the world we mean business, I'd have all the living presidents rounded up and put on trial for their war crimes as well as their cohorts. And, a lot of people think that that's an abstract thing to say, but I actually don't think it's abstract at all because our presidents have actually committed verifiable war crimes all around the world. And somehow we think that because we're Americans that somehow international law shouldn't apply, but it should. And also that will save money for all the other programs that we're going to launch because the country's been hemorrhaging money for a long time maintaining military presence.
Are you being a little high-handed here? You really think that...
I really think that we're doing wrong in the world. Like the basic premise of my whole program, which I maybe should have stated first of all, is I believe that all the major, major problems in the world today are not Einsteinian problems. They're problems that exist because bad people are profiting off of doing things the wrong way, intentionally. And if we wanted to stop these things from happening, well, we'd have to stop them. But that is going to be difficult because they are making profit, and profit has made them very powerful. So I don't think these are Einsteinian questions. I don't think these are high-end math and science problems. The solution for hunger in this country is feed people. Like someone pointed out, we have a vaccination for hunger. It's called food, and there's no side effects. So there should be no mandates from a government that can't even feed its population. They're going to do more sophisticated, more technical medical mandates and can't even feed people. That's absurd on face value. So number two is the prison industrial complex. All nonviolent drug offenders released from prison right away. It's an absolute outrage that Obama and Bush admitted in both of their biographies to doing quote unquote weed and quote unquote blow. And neither of them released the nonviolent drug offenders that fill our prisons all around the country. So we also have to pick apart all the components that people like Michelle Alexander have outlined that represent the cradle to prison pipeline. Number three, a jobs program, an announcement that every able-bodied person who wants to work can report to a work center and be employed. You can clean up the park. You can paint the wall on the handball court at the local school. There's a million things to do to improve our city. And our rural areas and all the towns and counties need some kind of assistance, some kind of work. There's always things for young people to be occupied with that could be productive for the community itself. And that could be part of an environmental initiative, which is my number four. And first solution to environmental issues is stop treating the planet Earth like an infinite garbage can. And these corporate practices where they're allowed to somehow just dump massive amounts of waste into our natural areas, stop the U.S. military from also treating the planet Earth like an infinite garbage can with all of their crazy testing that kills water, animals underwater, blowing up bombs that, make whales and dolphins lose their sight, basically, and float around dead in the water, unable to communicate with their families. So where are we? Number five, of course, ending and de-implementing, removing all of the features of this new biosecurity state. No more mandates, no more green passes, and all of that will be replaced with real health and the actual process of health, which involves eating properly, breathing properly, exercise, sleeping, positive thinking, all of which are art forms. So basically, an across-the-board rewriting of our American society, which would be rather difficult to do because it's a society that's so deeply invested in delusion.
All right, which of these proposals, you've named five so far,
right,
which is the easiest to get started with first?
Well, the easiest, depending on how you look at it. I think, like I said, Therese, honestly, as I look at it, I think they're all easy because these problems are not difficult problems to solve. The reason why I put the military-industrial complex at the top is because that's just violent, wanton criminality that our country is inflicting upon the entire world, and we're hemorrhaging money doing so. So when people ask, where will we get the money for all this stuff? We'll stop engaging in terrorism and policing the world, or quote-unquote policing the world through terrorism, and take that 40% of our annual budget and reinvest it in society. Removing nonviolent drug offenders, like I said, I mean, that could be done overnight.
But
people
tell
like
us,
Kamala Harris.
I just want to know, where are you starting from this list, and why?
Like I said, well, from a certain point of view, like I said, my military-industrial complex opens up the budget for many other initiatives. But things like nonviolent offenders being released from prison should be done today. Everything that can be done today should be done today. Some things could be implemented and would take some small period of time to be implemented, and some things can be implemented simply right away. It's absolutely absurd, like I said, that both presidents wrote in their biographies that they experimented with drugs and didn't release nonviolent drug offenders, and Kamala Harris said, oh, well, I might have made some mistakes and ruined some people's lives, and didn't release, again, the nonviolent offenders. You know, some of these other things would take some time to develop, like the jobs program I mentioned. That would be the government employing people to clean up the parks and to, you know, do whatever needs to be done to repair our communities. So things like that, some things would have to be implemented over a time period, and some things could be, frankly, done overnight.
Laws, well, you certainly enumerated them. I counted five major projects that you could have going. One right away, which is the release of nonviolent offenders. And you could be put to work doing all kinds of things, but
oh, and of course,
that is not something that needs to take a long time.
Sure. Well, of course, one of the first things would be undoing all of the ridiculous things that have been put in place recently through Biden with mandates and all these other things that are new to our way of life and should not be absorbed into our way of life. They should be rejected. And everyone should say, no, 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 I don't want to be a medical patient who's getting examined and questioned and having my temperature taken and who knows what's next.
All right. Well, thank you so much
for
contributing these ideas.
Thank you.
I've written them all down, so at some point we shall revisit them.
Thank you.
Hopefully soon. Mark from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, you too.
Hello.
I'm calling my program Humanity First Now. And it's going to encompass the following. We're going to change things to one party and one term. People have to earn to be in there to serve us, the public, the people. I don't think it's been done right in the past. It can certainly be a whole lot better. We need to take the money out of politics. There's too much money being taken away from too many entities that need to be serving the people much better. Panels, you know, just as you're saying, I'm on a policymaker here today making these statements and decisions. Put a panels, new panels together of policymakers that are made up of the professionals that are in those industries, but they don't get to have most say. They're strictly there to give a professional perspective. Have parents in there, students, youth, technology professionals. Get rid of these boards that do peer reviews, which are self-serving, that truly do not give the best outcome for people, such as like the AMA pharmaceuticals combining together their efforts, which, you know, in many of the cases do not come out and be do not come out to be the best intentions for most people, let's say. Not to say I am appreciative of doctors and professionals and all and so forth, but we can't let them have the final say so, because then we end up getting whatever we get, and without any you know, or very little input. And the perspective we have to take out on the politics, we can't give them any opportunity to make extra income and so forth by writing books and things of all that sort. You're there to serve the public. You're getting the salary like everyone else does that works. You need to have the intent and the seriousness behind that. No more of all these lobbyists and all these frivolous things that go on, and our money gets spent every million different directions. It needs to be prioritized, done the way in which so many of us expect and deserve from all the time that we put in into our lives and society and so forth. And have a cohesiveness, something new. All these concerns that we have about money, schools, health, all these type of things, they can all be taken care of by some of these areas in which I have addressed. And I think, you know, they can be taken care of pretty easily if implemented and orchestrated in a particular manner. Along with the military, the medical, the schooling, and I may be repeating myself, all these.
You
these
want your own government, essentially, is what you're saying. You just want your own government.
No, I want a government for the people, by the people. We don't need two parties. We don't need three parties. We just need one party in which the government is set up that we all have a say-so. And this fairness among the board and the panels and everyone. I mean, look how well we're doing with the two parties now.
Oh, we're in great shape with this two-party system right now. I can't imagine anybody wanting anything different.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Thank you, Mark, for contributing today. Thank you. Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. A fun
afternoon.
Day. I should start with the caveat that from my reading of the last 10,000 years of human history, there are no governmental solutions or government scheme that can be set up to solve the problems that people actually face. I don't think that's possible. But in order to, you know, play along with the if I were king game, or, you know, I'm going to advise power, I'm the last person that they want in the room. My overall goals are structural. The main goal would be to go back to something like the classical Greek democracy to begin with, which is all matters of war and peace or public policy or budget are submitted to the mass plebiscite for a vote or consensus, I realize it's they're not going to be able to occupy as much time, you know, with mental energy on celebrity hairdos or football or something. But that would be the setup. And I like, for the sake of argument, I like Ed's baseline of $100,000. We could start there. I would make, as I'm dismantling the current governmental structure, I would make one of their last acts to be a combination of the goals of the U.S. military away from war and conquering and murder and mayhem to seizing the assets of all of the top 20% who are hiding their assets. And their job becomes to send a flotilla of troops down to the Cayman Islands and seize their assets, to work night and day to find out where all the tax cheats are above $100,000. And it is put into a massive fund and immediately undertaken to distribute equally those funds amassed from everyone over $100,000 to each individual in the country equally. Now, according to the Pandora Papers and all these various documents that have come out, you're talking about, oh, say, roughly $45 trillion. That the rich have squirreled away at your expense. After all, it's every economist for the last 500 years has pointed out the only creator of wealth is labor. That's it. So the first step concurrent to that on this campaign of expropriation, which is that's what the rich call it when they steal from you. I would abolish the U.S. Senate as it's currently constituted. It's just a millionaire's club. It's useless. And each group of people is apportioned a representative as we begin this process. And they're not allowed to make task forces or select committees. Otherwise, if you need the task force and the select committee, what do you need the representatives for? You might as well elect the lobbyists. So this is the goal. And then once that level of income, universal income, is set by how much it turns out to be for each person, anything that goes above that is worked into some kind of publicly available system. So I'm absolutely the last person that these people in the Oval Office want to hear from, because my goal is to put them all out of work.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's what you're saying. This will be followed up in further discussions, because I'm not sure that you have taken into consideration that everything that you have outlined here will take time.
Oh, of course.
A lot of time. And it also is going to uproot lots of things that we have notions about in terms of democracy. It will take a long time to even get to the thinking of, let's say, abolishing the U.S. Senate and apportioning a representative for you. How workable are these things? We would have to discuss and explore further. But right now, we are out of time. I think we should be continuing this tomorrow.
Thank you,
because to just drop it, and we still have quite a few people queued up who want to contribute. So let's just come to the understanding that we continue this discussion, but we bring down the gate tomorrow on this question. But thank you so much, everyone, for contributing your incredible thoughts today. And we will see which ones are practical, which ones we think are probably long-term objectives, some that we don't see happening at all, and some which can be done in a relatively short time with reasonably good results. So we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.